I have headache, coughing. I had a cold, you know.
You want me to minister to you?
Yeah, yes, I would like, yes, you, I would be blessed by that.
Yeah, let's do that right now. Though.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
Father
yeah.
God, I thank you for Frank, and, you know, it's not through us, it has nothing to do with us, it's already done, as it says in your quote, Old Testament, which I hate that, because you can see all the miracles. I mean, you know, Elijah getting fed by the water. You know, he's getting birds bringing him stuff. I mean, Jonah taken up by the great fish. I mean, all those things. The donkey turning around and talking. Why are we lapsing in reference to our... I'm talking to myself now, Father. But I just come to you and I just thank you for Frank and for absolute command healing on his life right now, that he's at rest. And everything is done. And just like Lauren said, when he said it's finished, it's done, just as Christ said it, we can say the same thing. So I thank you for his absolute healing in that it is finished and done. And I always go, why am I praying in the name of Christ Jesus? But I just, it's done. It's finished.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Amen. Love you. So how did you end up in the fire, it's a fire service type of thing, right?
Yes, but we do not go on the roads, you know, only firemen go on the road, you know, but it can be depends on the kind of emergency, you know.
Yeah.
It's adapted for ambulance drivers, you know.
Yeah, I saw there some, I posted actually on Facebook, the difference between, and it's the same over here, unless it's a big city, you have areas where, I imagine throughout France, you have areas where people volunteer to come and ride on the engines and the ladders for the fire trucks. They volunteer. In other words, they do their jobs, regular jobs, and then if there's a fire, they get caged. Yes or no?
Yes, yes. And there are some professionals and there are some people, you know.
Yeah. So some are at the station.
Yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Somewhere at the station, you were saying? You froze up.
I think I...
Now you're...
I'm going to put my computer, you know.
And by the way, your audio has been sounding so much better since you've been closer.
Okay.
There he is.
Yes, yes.
3-hour tour.
Hey. I'm tired yet, guys. I'm really tired.
You are.
Hi, Marie.
Yeah, I got to wake up. I think I'll go get some coffee or something.
Well, they're in the air right now, flying, I think, right?
I think they're at the airport, but I don't think they're on the plane yet. They're not going to board until, like, 5:30 or something like that is when they board.
I think Danny and them are on one straight shot. Kim and the rest are on another one.
Yeah.
Are you able to hear me, you guys?
Hear you?
We hear you a lot more.
All right. Okay. I just received a message from Lawrence that he's listening, but he cannot speak. He's probably in the air already. I believe that they left about an hour ago or something from, either that or they're in Charlotte, because they're from Miami to Charlotte and then they're off from there.
Man.
Hi, Jason. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Mary. Hi, Carl Morton. Hi, Ivan.
Hi, Mary. Jason.
Hi, everyone.
Great to see some believing faces.
Yeah, I ran into a lady in the elevator today, and you could tell right off the bat she was a Christian. So that made my whole day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sister in Christ. I mean, it didn't help. She was good looking, too. I mean, that wasn't a bad feature also. But she was, you know, she was in like her 30s or something, so. And I had Gabrielle there to tease, so.
Yeah. That's great.
So how's work over there, Jason? How's the weather? Jolly old England.
Well, in jolly old England, dear boy, it's still quite hot.
We're still
quite warm. We did have a cooling off period for about a week, and then it came back up gradually, only a little bit. We're on 23, 24 at the moment.
23,
24. As top temperature for this week. So it's not as bad. It's not as hot, thankfully. I'm making a stupid mistake every day putting jeans on. And when you're active in a job with jeans on, it doesn't always work out.
Are you doing high rise buildings?
No.
I only do
one up, one down, to be honest. Sort of ground level and first floor. And that's it.
So 14 foot ladder?
18 minus, I think. 18, 19 foot, yeah.
Do you guys do meters over there for ladders?
No, feet, I think. I'm pretty sure it is.
That
I haven't like the wrong train.
It sounds like a submarine.
It does, doesn't it?
Frank's in a submarine right now.
Sorry, I remove my phone.
No, you're under the water now.
Yeah, yeah, we can hear the bubbles and everything.
Hello.
I'm Matt.
Okay,
sorry.
Now you sound human again.
Yeah.
God bless you.
There you go.
Everyone. Carl. I could not hear you, Carl, tout à l'heure. But now it's okay. Okay.
It's better sound now, Frank.
So, 73 degrees, you think it's hot, Jason, over there?
Yeah, but...
That's Fahrenheit. You would not do well over here. It's 92,
94. What's that in Celsius? What's in Celsius?
Let me convert it. 94 to Celsius. 34?
Well, that's hot for us. That would be very hot for us, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. 73 is like, thank you.
Yeah. We have had in the 30s over this year.
Jesus, go lay down. Go lay down.
And it was difficult working in that. That's the kind of time I need a siesta.
Yeah, like right now it's 91 here. 91 in, let me go to...
Jason, you look like the transporter guy, you know, who is doing the movie when I see you.
Oh, not Satan. Jason Satan.
Yes.
Yeah, that is me in the movie. I just changed my surname.
Yeah, you're famous.
And a whole room full of men.
Oh, but see, I can't be like that on here, can I?
Yeah, we got the men going on today, exactly. The ladies are fashionably late, except for you, Marianne. You're the only one that's not. It's always, that's all waiting on a woman.
Mm.
I know that Judy is, she was on for a second.
Judy was on briefly and then she got off.
Yeah, I think she's at work today.
Yes, I was not sure to participate today because I was not so well, but, I came and, fan ministered to me. I'm thankful. And, I believe it is done. And, yeah, I'm thankful. And I was blessed, Marie, when you spoke last time. And you give very encouraging words.
Oh.
And I am very thankful to your spoken words and encouraging. And it's very important to be encouraged by one another. And I see that. And yeah, that's good.
You're wonderful, Frank.
Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Van. It was good. Okay. Love, we will see that we are his disciple because we love one another, and yeah, and
yeah,
very good, very
amen
good.
Amen to that.
Yeah,
and we're all bought with a price, and just to love one another is amazing, huh?
Yeah,
I mean, what an honor to have to be brothers and sisters in Christ with you guys.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. It's an honor to have Mr. Brad. I mean, sorry, to my brother.
Yeah, except for Lawrence, exactly. Yeah, everybody.
he can't spoke, he won't say anything.
No, but meeting them over here and seeing the whole family, Jace, I got a completely different, you guys are a lot more open with each other as a family unit than we as Americans. That's what I picked up, which is really, it was refreshing to see. I used to think
of English as, you know, what's the word?
Stuck up.
Yes,
yeah.
but more refined. Oh, tea and, you know, but them, this group here is more open and that's how kind of how we should be. Is it that way in France, Frank?
Sorry.
Is it that way? Is it that open? Like the English? Are you guys that open? Because we're not over here.
It depends among believers or it's a lot of eating. You know, in France we eat, we speak, we share. Yeah, very good food and drink some wine also and. And it's good. Yeah, it's family. I see that in some groups, you know, it's not like family. I mean, you know, there is control and it's not free, you know, it's, and Jesus Christ was, like that, you know, it was, very free and listening to people and sharing and express. And we need to, you know, to learn too and to grow in that. And, yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, in England, we did used to have this sort of football thing going on, and the believers came from a mixture of backgrounds anyway. But I think some of us kind of didn't like the look down your nose business. And we saw it happening in churches, we saw it happening in a ministry, we saw it happening here, we saw it happening there. And I don't mean it's the wrong word, but we met some Americans that came over that were leaders, and I thought, never again. they were over the top the wrong way, and it did put me off Americans, but then God blended me back in when I went to India. I was with Fred Davenport and a few other guys, and I saw a difference in those guys than what I'd seen before. And of course, you know, like with American military, right, you don't mess with us. All that kind of attitude was coming out in a lot of American people back then.
Really?
Which, yeah, it's not a bad thing, but it can come
up. Well, it's a bad thing when you're around believers and you're supposed to be loving them.
Yeah.
Doing that. Here's the ladies. We were waiting on the women to come on. We got we on here, and then we got Miss Ethel.
We have Miss Ethel. Hello, Mrs. Robinson. I mean, Miss Robinson.
Who is it?
Yeah.
Who is you are on mute? Who is you are on mute?
Hi.
That's me, Frank. That's me.
That's we.
Okay.
I was trying to think of a creative name that would be helpful, and we always have to say it in a meeting, so I thought, why not add it in at the beginning?
Okay.
That's a stranger, I mean.
Makes no sense. That makes no sense at all. Just put your name down.
You're very creative.
You know the good shepherd.
Creative, my creative.
You know, the good stripper comes in the front way, not the back way.
Van my ass.
Remember how creative I was? That's all in South Carolina, and you and Judy picked me up and scolded me all the way home for walking.
yeah, we did the whole time.
I was being scolded by dual moms. It was hysterical.
Oh my God, she was gonna hike like I don't know. That was a day.
You guys did it because you love her, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the honest truth. Even though we had a disagreement, I saw her in the pool the same day, and I went, "Bambi, I love you," and she just melted, and I did, and we hugged and kissed.
Oh.
So that was really sweet.
And where was I during that event?
I don't know. you were in your bath somewhere, bro.
Yeah. But, I was down left field is where I was.
Oh my God. Yeah. By the way, Van, you know, you're looking good, bro. You've lost some weight. Your stomach dropped. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it wasn't
got a rocket in my pocket now. There you go. Stomach dropped. There you go.
Yeah. And then so I was telling Laura, it looks like you're losing weight. He's trying to ignore me because he goes, I know I gave up smoking, but I did not give up eating. God bless his heart. I've been praying for you, bro. He can do it. It is hard. I mean,
I went and saw them. They're great. I mean, that's what I was saying,
good.
Ethel, that the openness that the English have, I was just telling Jason, and I was asking Frank if he had the same thing. They have a lot more openness than we do, I think, anyway.
What kind of openness?
Like how they talk to each other, the banter that they have, the relationship. Like I would never, if my sister was here, I would never say some of the things that I heard when I was down there. it was done with love and openness.
Yeah,
I thought it was so refreshing. That I said, my God, man, this is great stuff. You know,
well, that's the Brits for you. They're open. Transparent. When Lawrence, we have our one-on-one, he has to kick my butt. He goes, sis, I know I gotta be transparent. Just with you, But there's a lot of truth that he did kick my butt hard that I learned. And
yeah.
God was showing me as well, and the result was amazing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So, well, we can do the same, bro. We're Americans.
Yeah.
No?
Yeehaw.
It's like thinking. What do you think? I said we can be the same like the Brits. We can be honest.
I'm saying, like, for example, culturally, like in Brazil in South America, you know, the way people dress is a lot different, and it's more, you know,
open.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's open, all right. So then it is up here, and so what I'm saying is that just culturally, from the way I see it, I'm talking about for me. I need to be more open like that, honest. Like when my sister comes over, be chewing her ass coming up here pretty soon.
Okay, then make a list. Get ready.
Yes, put them on a list.
Would you be that open to your kids?
For Gabriella, my son, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I am with him.
And then I became the bad guy, you guys. Mom, so one daughter's not speaking to me, although it's postpartum, I see, but that's still no excuse.
Yeah.
And so we're staying quiet right now. I don't know.
Well, this postpartum thing and this, all this, I heard some of this. I mean, what this all boils down to is just all the women that are out there supporting her. I mean, don't get me wrong. I get that you get this, but they just hate men. You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gave it to God.
Yeah. Well, I don't even follow the news anymore because of you guys. I just caught up with this. But because of you guys saying, hey, I'm not even following this, I barely even follow it. I don't follow any of it like I did before. My whole focus is connecting
and growing as a man of God. So, yeah.
But I love that.
I'll let you guys talk away.
Mr. Jason, Carl Morton. Hello.
Hello. Hello, sister. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Hi, Mary Ann, my sister. Hi, Jace.
Hi,
Dijon Mustard.
Hi, Hazel. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you. And then Bambi, you're on mute. I love it.
Yes, she's on mute.
She's on mute.
That's really funny. That's the title. You're on mute.
Yeah. So anyway, you're hosting Mr. Carl M.
That's right. Yes, I'm doing my best.
What time is it in your neck of the woods?
Right now it's 8:30 p.m.
So I guess it's your bedtime. I'm kidding.
Not quite, but it's getting close. No, it's not.
Yeah. Can you make it
1 minute time?
Yeah.
Yes, we're on the same time.
You're in the same time in France?
Yes, half past eight p.m., yes.
Yeah, I think you're ready to go too, though, bro, Frank.
Sorry?
Listen to
you're ready to go to bed, huh?
No.
Giving instructions on bedtime for these guys.
I know.
I used to go to bed late, you know, sometime. It depends, you know, that... Sometimes it's near midnight, you know, a little before, or it could be after, it depends, but.
Yeah. Have some of that nice red wine. What's it called?
Savigny les Bonnes is a very good one.
Yeah,
Savigny les Bonnes.
Oh, okay.
I like all where it's spoken bone, when there is bone inside, I like it.
Bone?
Yes, but the... A very good one that you will appreciate, I'm sure, is Savigny les Bonnes. Yeah.
Okay.
And there is also a wine of Bordeaux, you know, a sauce.
Bordeaux, yes.
Yes, I like too. They are more strong, more, I don't know.
Smooth, though. It comes smooth on your throat, baby.
Yeah. They are very good too.
More rich.
More rich. I just want Asti Spumante. You know, the white wine that's fruity? Tastes like 7-Up. But don't let it fool you. I drank the whole bottle. I'm like, I'm feeling buzz. And it's only like 7% alcohol. What's going on? I treated like it was 7-Up.
Yeah.
So... But...
And there are some sugared wine that you used to eat with duck, cheese? You know, some kind of duck for Christmas. It's like Montbazillac. There is Montbazillac. And Coteau du Lion is a kind of same wine, but very, you know, high-standing. Coteau du Lion.
Look at him. He's a wine connoisseur. Okay.
Yes, I used to work in a store where I put some wine in, you know, the store, and I know a little about it. And my father, you know, learned us about wine too. And
I'll drink to that. But no, that's good. It's good educational. You can you can teach us about wine 101.
And my brother Patrice is a cooker too, and he know well about wine also. You know.
Wow.
So
when we have the French laborers, we're gonna have some Bordeaux and Asti Spumante, right? By in Paris, France, by the Eiffel Tower, underneath or something.
Okay.
I do have my heart set. I haven't been to France. Franck.
Okay.
That's a good place to go. France is good.
Gabriella, she's studying abroad for 6 months. I picked her up, and that's when I picked her up at the Gainesville. That's when I was talking to the head-to-toe 25-year-old Muslim lady. So anyway, when she flew into Madrid, from Madrid, she stayed there for a day or so. Then from there she went to, France and did the Monet and that. And then she did the Eiffel Tower. She's with a 6'2", 6'3", a Latin guy. How you guys, how you ladies like him? Tall, dark, and handsome.
He's from,
that's who she's with. And I connected with him and told him, hey, you better watch out for my daughter. So, and he texted me back. He said, I got her. Don't worry. So I'm feeling good. Because I want him to step in front of her in case something happens to the man. You know, I'm like, God's protecting her, obviously. She went to France. Then from there, I knew exactly, when she got on a train or a plane, I forget what she got on, I knew exactly where she was headed. She went to Venice, Italy. Then from Venice, Italy, she went to Florence, and she said Florence was her favorite spot. Then from there, she went to Naples, and she called me the other day. She was on some kind of boat, whatever they call that boat that goes, takes you to the island off of Naples.
Yeah.
Salerno.
Yeah.
So she was a ferry. That's it, ferry.
Ferry.
Kind of hard to say, A ferry, she's on a ferry. So she called me about that, and she was on that, and then she went from there, she's in Pompeii today. Seeing the
Pompeii,
people.
Pompeii, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what she's
I've been there.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I have. I think I said it to one of my audio sharing. I went on a tour called Footsteps of Paul. Paul was supposed to start Christianity in Turkey, but for security reasons, he couldn't go. So we started in Greece. And then from Greece to Thessaloniki, Corinth, Rome, blah, blah, blah. And part of that was Pompeii, the two cities that divided.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a great place.
So did you go to the Rome where the Colosseum was and everything?
I absolutely did.
Yeah, she was there too. And there's some kind of well I saw where she did, where she turned her back and she threw a coin in the back.
Is it a well or a fountain in Rome?
A fountain, well, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what it is.
She did that.
She was, I forgot that she went to Rome. And I reminded her, because I've been teaching her as she's a little girl, all roads, the Romans built all the roads all over Europe, and that helped Christianity spread. So it's just amazing how God worked everything out, like that. So,
and they have the best gelato, bro, in Rome. Wait, if you ever have laborers there, gelato, melts in your mouth.
Mm. Yeah. Well, she's going to Greece next.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's going there next, and then she's got to go to school at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Hey, she's got a burqa on. She's covered, right? She's a Muslim.
Who's a Muslim? My daughter?
No. You're the other gal that you were trying to witness to.
I wasn't witnessing to her. I was there, and I was picking up Gabriella. She happened to have there was something about her that drew me to her. It wasn't how she was dressed. She just happened to be dressed that way. So I was speaking to her, and she needed help.
Uh-huh.
So I spent 3 hours talking to her, speaking to her. And she got, when she left, she was in tears. Because I prayed for her, and, maybe I was there just to plant a seed. And then, God brought me over the next place, and then I took Gabriella, and I brought her back here, and then I took her down south to drop her off to for her study abroad.
Yeah.
So
good.
She's already got it wired where she's taking 2 humanities classes. She can do that standing on her head. So and I talked to her mother, and I didn't know this. Her mother was telling me she could graduate already. So her mother's mad, and her mother tells me that I spoiled her. But if you look at her little face, and I guess, I don't know, do any Carl or Frank, do you guys have any children, any daughters? Daughters?
Oh, yeah, I got a daughter.
Okay.
She's
33 years old. When your daughter comes to you, she does this. She comes to your dad and she turns your head. Don't you just melt?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there you go. So I had to agree with Gabriella's mother. I have definitely spoiled her. So,
it's okay. She's your princess.
There you go.
Well, you know, like, I had three brothers. I had three brothers. I'm the only girl. My dad spoiled me to bits.
Did he really? Oh, okay,
my
good.
Princess. Yeah, yeah, because I'm the only girl.
Where did you fall in the line of everybody?
I'm third. There were four of us. Okay. But I'm the only girl.
Do you have any brothers left, Ethel?
Yeah, just the one. Remember, the two died.
Yeah,
but
no, I know
real,
that.
Real quick story. It's very funny, I think, okay? So my parents, my dad's name is Eduardo. My first brother is Edgardo. Then you have Edmundo. Then I'm Ethel, and then you have Edward. So you see the pattern of the Eds. One day and they're all start with E, right? So one day my mom was so pissed off with the boys. So she was like making all these roll calls. Edward. And I stood right in front of her and she's like, Mom, you guys were on a roll. Why didn't you just name me Edna? So I'll be an Ed too. My mom was bursting out laughing, you guys, and you know what? She forgot why she was pissed at the boys.
You saved.
So I could have been Edna. Yeah. Yeah, when my parents had to send out the Christmas cards, so my dad says, oh, from Ed and Cell, because mom's name is Celerina, and the four E's.
Oh, that's so
creative, cool. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How long ago did your father pass away?
Oh, my God. He was gone 1999, so years ago. God bless his heart. Yeah. His name is Eduardo. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God. Was he born in the Philippines?
Yes, he was. But you know what? What happened is that my grandfather served in the U.S. Army. So when my dad was born, my aunts and uncles, they were naturally American citizens automatically. And so was us. Me and, you know, my siblings. And my cousins and all that were all American citizens. So what happened was my parents had dual citizenship. And so the Philippine government was charging them an arm and a leg. So my dad says, we're going to flee. We're going to the United States. Well, we laid over in Honolulu, Hawaii, because it's so comparable to the Philippines. It's very tropical. That's where my childhood was, my childhood memories, you know.
You go to school there in Hawaii?
Oh, I sure did. I graduated at Radford High School right next to the Aloha Stadium. I'm a kind of a native Hawaiian, yeah.
Yeah.
So
when the fires happened there, did it affect any of the areas that you grew up in?
No, because I think the biggest one was the one in Maui, okay? And, yeah, they're still kind of rebuilding. Although they do have direct flights now. I was there last time and they said from Boston, they don't have to stop to Honolulu. They just go all the way to Maui type of thing. It's a direct flight, you know. But then you've got the Big Island, which is the volcano there is very, very active. It could erupt any minute. Okay, but people live there, you know. But just like Pompeii, when I went to Pompeii, they had a good, really depiction of the two cities that sank in the ocean and the other one was still up. So they had a museum kind of a thing going on where they really depicted and they had, you know, they represented people that was burning from the volcano. So half ash already and burning kind of a thing. So they made a good depiction of that. It's really an interesting place to go.
Yeah.
Paul was amazingly frequent flyer, so we visited most of the places where he got imprisoned. They were not the best place to be. So, So, anyways, sorry I'm taking up your time.
No,
that's all right. That was okay. Good. Maybe we should get started. It's the 27th of August, 2026, and it's 7:40 UK time. And I think we lost Jason. But you can get started anyways. He might get back. I hope so. But I would like to ask Van Patterson, please, if you would like to open us up with a word of prayer and then share with us how God has blessed you today.
Okay. Well, Father God, I want to thank you for everybody on here. I thank you for just everybody who's not. I don't know where they're at, but I'm not missing this. I can tell you that right now. So I just thank you for your love, your kindness. I thank you for the tours. I thank you for safe flights for everybody to get back to jolly old England peacefully. And I thank you for how you're just working in him to will and do your good pleasure, guiding him, directing him in reference to the body of Christ, which is this little body right here, and that we're able to love one another, able to just be at peace, to be kind, to be tender, be gentle, be imitators of you, Father. So, and also show us how to speak the way you want us to speak, to share our hearts the way we need to share love and tenderness and grace. Because you're our Father, and you've given us the model so we can walk like our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. You are in faith now as the teaching that just came out, so we're able to walk that way. I thank you for that. So, did you also ask me to share too, Pearl?
Yes, please. Whatever is on your heart, bro.
All right. Well, so my wonderful daughter, like I said, is over, you know, I'm tracking her. And she's currently in, there she is. She's in Naples. I don't know what she's doing. She's back in Naples. So she's back there. But for me, I'm applying absolutely everywhere, job-wise. And Lawrence knows what's going on. And it's time for me to move out of the public sector and into the private sector. You know, and God has brought me some wonderful people that have, as I was doing an inspection, the guys would say, hey, why don't you come work with us? You know, and so there's this opportunity in Tennessee, and that's the one I'm shooting for. And, so I'm just waiting for them to give me a call, and then I'm going to be heading to Tennessee. You know, I'll take all my little animals and head to Tennessee. So what I find is God just blessing me and just opening doors for me where I was stuck before. And it's just really amazing how things can happen in your life where you don't really realize that you're stuck, and you think you're doing things by your, and you think you're being the good guy by continuing to show grace and be kind and be tender, and you don't really know, you know, what you're doing, but you're doing it by your own will, you know, by my own will. Until I got out of my own way, and it's a long story, because I'd always go to God to, look, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how, you know, and then bang, it just happened one day. And again, nothing against anybody, trust me. I don't mean that by any means, but you'd have to know the story. But it's God just opening doors. I mean, it blows me away. And I was talking to Lawrence about this, how when you rest in our Father's work, and it reminds me of Psalm 23, where it's, and I always go back to this, Psalm 23, where it says that we're at a banquet table, and we're at a banquet table, and our Heavenly Father is fighting the battles for us. So in other words, when you cast all your cares to Him, He's the one that fights the battles. Okay, He's the one that takes care of all of our issues, whatever they might be. And who are we to sit here and judge one another or judge other people, you know, for maybe the things that they're doing, when we're to be imitators of our Heavenly Father? Not, and our Father's not judging us. He's encouraging us, you know. And the other thing I think about is, or I've been thinking about lately, is in reference to how God has always been there for, like David, for example. I mean, for years, I thought of David, and I thought all the things that he did, you know, I didn't necessarily like, you know, and, but again, this is quote, quote, human nature, old man nature stuff. And I didn't like that, what he did, but God has a different opinion because God's looking at his heart as opposed to me looking at what David did, you know. Now, are we all making mistakes? Yeah. Are we making David mistakes? I'm not making any David mistakes lately anyway. So, but, you look at that, look at the heart that God says that he had, David had. And you look at David in that one instance where he's out with all the men and they're out fighting and then they come back and all their wives, all their children are gone. Now, as I know me, and I know, you know, Carl's here, and I know Frank's here, and Jason's here, I think all four of us would probably say, they'll have to speak for themselves, but as men, we would say, we're going, and we're going to get our wives, we're going to get our kids, we're going to get our grandmothers, we're going to get whoever, we're not letting anything stop us. But what David did is he went to God first and asked. Now, think about that. He asked our Heavenly Father, should I go get them? And I forget where that is in the record, but he asked, should I go? Now, if God would have said, no, don't go, he would have had to listen or suffer the consequences for not listening. But he listened. So there's a great example of going to God first, for me anyway, for me to lock into, to go to God first in every area of my life. You know, and so that's what he did. And then he was told, yes, go pursue after them. I don't know if they're the Amalekites or whatever kind of kites they were, but they were some kind of kites. They were Canaanites or whatever. So I forget. But anyway, God told him, yes, pursue. And then he went and he got everybody back. So I just think of that record and I think of how blessed we are to have these records. And we're able to rest in them, knowing that what God did then, he'll do for us now. You know, we're sons of the Most High God. Hang on. Hey, Zach, let me call you right back, okay? Okay. So, like, for example, that phone call there, that's someone that's, you know, I'm helping along. Well, why am I helping along? Because he needs the help. So we're to put ourselves out there and to help people, to love people, to be tender, to be gentle. But now, no. And when I was at a meeting, nobody would go to this guy because if you saw him, you would not go to him. Okay, you just wouldn't. Maybe you guys would, but nobody in the group would go to him. So, you know, I am following my Heavenly Father's. So I went to him and said, hey, you need some help. And, you know, I'll help you and let's get this thing done. You know, so we're to love people. We're to be minister to people. Like that lady. That lady needed something. And I was there to give that to her. You know, the 25-year-old or Muslim that's a PhD lady. And but she needed some type of help. And so I was able to give that to her. And it's not me that made her cry. It's the prayer. It's God's word that made her cry. It's God speaking from God is what made her, and she got the answers that she needed. And that's what made her cry. You know, so just seeing all the different, things my Heavenly Father's doing for makes me so appreciative, so grateful, so excited for life. And to see my Heavenly Father work all these different things that I've got inside my heart, but I'm going to him first, you know, and let him guide me and direct me. Do I have to take action? Absolutely. But I'm also resting in his work. You know, I'm able to rest at that and see that those things absolutely come to pass in my life. So, and what an honor it is to have you guys as brothers and sisters in Christ, man. I mean, what an absolute privilege it is. So I love you, and that's what my little sharing is, and I'll be listening in.
love you, man. That's beautiful. Yes. It's funny what you say about the
if I understood you correctly, how guidance, God's guidance is so perfect. And I just had an experience quite recent that there was some issue I was working at, some situation that came up that I needed a solution for. And I had basically established in my mind how this would be solved. So I was going in that direction, kind of, and trying to figure out how to solve it. I gave it to God, I asked, and the more I pursued it, the less answers I got. There was no response. And up until the point when I realized that I was actually the one pulling the direction that I wanted. So as soon as I pulled back and said, God, you do it, suddenly the door just opened and I got the answer that I was looking for. And it was just from one day to the next, and it was just awesome, because I was not in my mind aiming in that direction at all. It was God. It was God who showed me which way to go and how to handle it. And he just opened the door, and the situation got handled perfectly, beautifully. And I'm very blessed about that. So, yeah, God is at hand. Sometimes we get in the way for God's ability to move the way he wants us to live. I mean, he's the one that has laid before us the way that we are supposed to walk. He's the one who prepared the way. And he's the one that prepared our ability. And he's the one that enabled us in all ways. But as long as we listen to him, then we are able to do it. If you are not listening to him, we can be as unable as we want, but we are not following the signposts, his direction, his leadership. And well, it's a funny situation. God is always the one in charge, and he's always the one knowing the best and ahead of time which way we should go. So, yeah, life is wonderful with God on our side. So, yeah, thanks, man. Beautiful. I'd like to move on to Frank. Frank, please. Are you there, my brother?
I am here. Thank you very much.
Are you able to pull your throat?
Yeah, sorry. Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can hear you. And we will pray for you. Pray with you.
All right. Okay, God bless you. It was like I knew that you would call to me, and I'm thankful. Thank you very much. Yes, God is good, and it is good to that we are not alone. We can feel it, we are alone, but no, and there is a place where God wants us to be, and this place is among the believers, is among those who walk by the Spirit, who are loving, because this is a place where we can grow, and this is a place where we can be helpful to. And I think there is a very truly something that where I can submit myself is love, really someone who loves. And first, this God that we have is a loving God, and he decided to put us in a family who decided to love. And even if we are not perfect, you know, the perfection is in us, and we can rely on the presence of God in us to really grow, and the blessing from God are among the believers, and sorry, and I am healed. And God, you know, we just continue with looking only to God and making God our priority, to have this relation with God. And, you know, laying on my bed, you know, I was able to speak in tongues and of what I know I can do. And it's very important. Sometimes we can think, oh, it's not, it could be not very important. And, or, you know, it's, we can think that it's not important, but it's very important. Speaking in tongues is really something, of great importance. And, we also, honor God. We connect to our minister, and, I'm waiting Lawrence to come back home to connect, and it'll be easy. And, yes, praying for laborers, and I, thinking about it, and, you know, and praying for God to open the doors, you know, only one, the one, you know, we need one, I need one, one who wants to connect and to look only to God, you know, in the free state, you know, not being controlled by myself, you know, I dislike to be controlled, then but, you know, God is a, I like to say when I share the word of God, I say, you know, God is a gentleman, and he won't force you, he won't overcome your free will of choice. And I recently bring someone who said he was an anatee, not believing in God, and I said, you know, I speak a little, I said, oh, God is a gentleman, and you just need to make a step of faith, and he will reveal to you. And anyway, yes, and he was respectful, but he said, oh, I'm respectful for what you said, but but and I said, oh, say, I'm also respectful of your what you believe or not. And but, you know, it was just to say it, you know, to inform that it's available and healing was available, because he had to go to place to have some exams, you know, and it was not well. Then, you know, it was, I tried to express what's available. This time it wasn't. But I'm ready, and we just are ready. We just need to be ready in speaking the words from God, to encourage, to minister people for healing, for everything, you know. And I'm ready. And I know that at my job, you know, people are laughing at me, you know, but I don't mind. Some are more serious or more, you know, but whatever, I don't mind, and I do what I need to do, you know. I do not push, you know, so much, but always when something, when it's available to speak about it, I speak, you know, just being inspired, and it can grow, you know. We don't know when this seed can really bear fruit, you know, grow and bear fruit, because it's only God that make it grow. And these words are seed, and I like to know that, you know, words are seeds, and it was really important to me, because seeds, the goal of seed is to grow, you know, to grow and bear fruits and make some seeds again, etc. And whatever we speak, you know, has the power to manifest and to blow out and to blow them. Then we need to speak good words, and it's very valuable, you know. It can bring life, you know, and instead of death. Sometimes your words are very powerful to bring life to people, to bring hope to bring a good thing in life, you know. And when you are at the lowest, you know, you God just show you some word that has been spoken to you by someone else, you know, and it uphold you, you know, it elevate you to a different thinking and different to another place, a place where we are seated, you know, and I remembered also that we are seated at the right hand of God, and we are not from this world. We are in this world, but not from this world. We are in the kingdom of God. We are the light of this world. We are not puffing up about it, you know. We are just glorifying what God has done through Christ, and we nothing is from us. It's just we have the humility to say that and to really think and that it's not from us, and it's really not from us. But God is a good God, and He wants the best for each one of us, and we just need to just continue to focus on God and as a priority. And as Van was sharing about he would go first to God for the things of the family, and yes, we need to know that we are dependent. I like to say I am dependent to God. I'm dependent to God. I can be independent. You know, the world, you know, in France, people like to say, oh yes, I'm independent. But no, I'm not independent. I'm dependent of God. And yes, and He has great plans for me, and He has the best for me. And that's why, you know, I just let God know that I'm dependent unto Him. Then that's what I wanted to share. I love you, and I'm very thankful to be part of you. God bless you, Laurence, Jim, and all where you are. I love you, and I love you all too. And thank you very much, Carl. Thank you.
Thank you too, Frank. Thank you. You're beautiful, and I love your sharing. So it's always wonderful to listen to what you have on your heart, because you always have a close relationship with God. As you say, you are dependent upon God, and we are. That's it. I mean, what would we have been? Where would we have been without God? Everything is dependent upon God. I mean, the whole creation is dependent upon how God put it all together. And, yeah. He's just perfect, the way everything was united, everything was done. And look at it. Walking with God is a just perfect way of doing things. We've been reunited with God by what Christ completed. And yeah, we're all dependent upon Him. So yes, thank you, Frank. That's beautiful. That is really something else. I'd like to move on to our wonderful sister, Mary. Mary Ann, are you there, please? Mary. Hello, God bless.
I'm trying to get my computer to work here.
Okay, there you are.
Yeah, lately I think I may need to be getting a new phone. My phone is not, I'll tap on it and it won't recognize that I'm tapping on it. So I've had it for years, so it's probably time for me to get a new phone. But anyway, that's really neither here nor there. But I was having trouble with the tapping on my laptop because I'm on my computer. And it just reminded me of that. But yeah, I've just been having very much at peace and very blessed with my relationship with God here lately. And that's really what I've been focusing on is... not that I'm moving away from what I need to be doing, you know, thinking about what I need to be doing, but I've really been focusing really on just developing a love relationship with God and thinking about God in terms of not what He expects from me, but what but the relationship that he wants to cultivate with me, because, you know, Jesus Christ was, he talked about the 99, the 99 sheep, and how the rejoicing occurs when the lost sheep is found, the 100th sheep, I guess, that he'll go out, the person will go out and look for the lost sheep, and rejoice when that sheep is found, and brought back into the flock. And sometimes I kind of feel that way when it comes to God's love, that, you know, I can get so focused on what I need to be doing, or I need to, you know, and these things are all wonderful things to do. I'm not discounting them by any means, but, and they do help build our relationship with God, that's for sure, but, you know, speaking in tongues and things like that, the five things that we do, honoring God and praying for laborers and all that, but, you know, those things don't define really who we are in Christ, and they're just the things that we, you know, that we do to bring ourselves in line to make sure that we're in the right place and everything. But who we really are is who God tells us that we are, and where we are is where God has placed us, which is in the heavenlies, you know, seated in the heavenlies. And I've just really kind of thought about it, about my life with God in terms of just that, just what God has made me, that I'm His masterpiece, that He has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness, and He has made me righteous. He has given me a righteous standing and a citizenship in heaven, and I have rights and privileges in that standing with God that I didn't have to work for. And I have a complete freedom in Christ to live my life according to the way God would have me to live, and God gave me that freedom to do that. And you know, just having God's favor. You know, we started our spiritual lives with grace, with God's favor. We didn't work for the salvation that we have. And we don't have to work for God's love or earn God's love. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've had to learn, because, you know, for me, all my life, love was so conditional. You know, my mother was nice to me and supportive of me as long as I tracked the way she wanted me to track. And if I deviated from that, she withheld her love, and she was quite hard on me. And my father was the same way, you know, and I just grew up in a family that there wasn't much love. And Van was talking about how, you know, Americans are kind of distant from each other, I guess, is what he was saying. You know, we're not really free with each other. And I certainly had a family like that. You know, my family was, everybody just kind of lived unto themselves and really didn't care about each other. And, you know, I learned to grow up with that, and I learned to strive to get the approval of my family by the things that I did, you know, as long as I did what they wanted me to do. And God's not like that. God does not withhold love and favor from us when we stray. You know, God is there to bless us. And you know, when you come from a background where you didn't have much love, unconditional love, it's hard to grasp that, and it's been hard that for me to grasp that. But lately, I've just been really resting in God's love, and not worrying about, okay, well, I didn't do that very well today. I didn't speak in tongues very long today. I didn't pray for laborers like I should have prayed for today. And again, I'm not discounting those things. Those things are important. But God's love and care for us is not dependent upon what we do in that regard. You know, we don't have to strive to please God because God's already pleased with us. He's pleased with us because he's made us like his sons and daughters. And, you know, God doesn't want us, like with regard to giving, God doesn't want us to give of necessity. And that's what I'm getting at here. You know, God wants us to have the right heart for things. And the right heart is knowing that God loves us and is for us in every situation. And we don't have to strive and strain and struggle to earn his love and his acceptance. We are accepted in the Beloved. And so, I mean, these are really profound things that I've been thinking about here lately. And as a result, when I think about doing things that I know are God's will to do, such as the five things, praying for labor, speaking in tongues, speaking by the Spirit of God, honoring God with the first fruits of our substance, and connecting as God would have us to connect with him first, and then with each other and with our minister. You know, those things are really wonderful things, but we never have to feel obligated to do them. We live in the freedom that God gave us to live our lives. And God has blessings in store for us. And when we see the great benefits of just living with our Heavenly Father, just living in the living room of God's love, I heard it put that way once long ago, just kind of being at home with God, then those things just kind of naturally start to flow from us, the natural desires that we have to live as God would have us to live. And so that's just kind of the way where I've been at, the mindset that I've had here lately. And it's given me a great deal of peace and just calmness in my own life. And just a trust in God that, you know, he'll bring to pass the things that need to be brought to pass in my life. I don't have to worry or be concerned with them. And I haven't been. I've been very much at peace, like I said. And, you know, and we don't have to prove anything to anyone. You know, God has already set us in the heavenlies. He's already made us complete in him. And we have nothing to prove to anyone else, because we are already accepted in God's sight and blessed by God. And we can live a life that's more than abundant because God made it available for us to live that life that's more than abundant. And we just have a real simple, beautiful life to live. And so that's what I wanted to share. So God bless everybody.
And God bless you too. Thank you so much. Beautiful. Very beautiful. It was very nice, Mary. And it's always wonderful to know how God loves us. And yes, as you say, we don't have to prove anything, neither to ourselves, neither to our neighbors, to God, to anyone. He has accepted us the way we are. I mean, to start with, unacceptable, but by God's grace, we were accepted. I was accepted. And thinking about God's grace, I mean, we haven't earned a thing or everything that we have been given. And look, we have the more abundant life right in front of us, available to us, given to us for free. Nothing that we had to bargain for, ask for. It was just given to us by God's so wonderful love. And the more I understand God's grace, the more I understand the statement Paul wrote to Timothy, be strong in the grace, that we are to be strong in his ability, in God's ability. I mean, we were saved by grace. We have been given everything by grace. Everything that we are able to, our ability, our DNA, spiritual DNA, and all these things, we didn't learn it. We were given it. And that's what we are to be strong in, not our own ability, not what we thought was so important previously, but what we now know is important, the Christ in us. And that's what carries us through whatever situation we might be facing, whatever mountain we are standing up against, whatever situation that is rising up. We know that it's by God's grace that we are able to pull through, not only pull through, march through and conquer, because Christ gave us that authority. We have been given the ability. I can do all things through Christ. I'm complete in Christ. Nothing lacking. Nothing missing. So, it's a wonderful situation to be in. And what a joy. What a situation to be in. I mean, joyfulness. Ah, yeah, it's great. I have a brother in Bristol, and I'm not talking about the Lawrence right now. I'm talking about Jason. Jason, my brother, are you available to share with us what's on your heart?
Jason, unfortunately, has to be left because he needs to go and get married. No, I'm joking. Wow. I do apologize. Well, before I go any further, I would like to show everyone something. Right, so that is what. Oh, I don't know if you can see it or not.
Waiting for everyone to come down and check in through the security over there. May I have any? Is it too noisy for them?
Right, so that's Lawrence and Tim at the airport, and, right. Right, I'll try and get it better if I can. Oh, well, it's kind of, they're checking in, going through security at the moment, so, he was just messaging me, as Marianne started sharing, they're at the airport at the moment. Their flight is in a couple of hours' time, two and a half hours' time. He said 2.5 hours, that was about 5 or 10 minutes ago. So, anyway, it's been great listening to everybody else share, and thank you, Cromwell, for asking me to go next. I've had a bit of a chuckle this week, actually. I've been, doing something I don't usually do. I've been going on a little bit of social media, but I don't really follow anything like that. I'm not into social media as such. In fact, I'm not. However, I went on a couple of things, trying to find somebody that I wanted to try and find, and I couldn't find them. And then it's just, for some reason, I wasn't in a hurry to get off of there, even though maybe in me, I would normally think, get off, right, dish it. But I didn't. This was a couple of weeks ago. Since then, I've seen kind of different things on there, and I know you've got to watch out what you're looking at, what you're hearing on, in the world, especially online, because there's a lot of AI. And what looks like a real person, in some cases, is not. It's AI imagery. And they'll even mimic somebody down to the details of how a person is, how they speak, and all this stuff, what they look like. And come across a few celebrities on that, and I'm thinking, are you joking? Is that really you? or what? I mean, I'm a celebrity, but I'm in the top place. I'm in heaven. it's been kind of an eye-opener a lot, and I think there are genuine people on there. And a lot of genuine people, unfortunately, are suffering in one way or another with their physical health. I mean, some of that that goes on there might be AI as well, but sometimes I just get it in me and I think, no, avoid. And I'm not sure why at the time, but when I do, it turns out right. Then I came across a scammer and they had about 10 different profiles and I confronted them in the end. They were coming on to me, offering me money. But there was a catch at the end of it and I thought, get lost. So, yeah, it's funny. God makes us sharp to things. But sometimes we can actually go through things to become sharp on whatever it is we need to become sharp on. And it's funny because when Jesus Christ, the Pharisees brought a woman to him that was caught in the act of adultery. And they said to him, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. In other words, we caught her. How'd they catch her? Was one of them doing it with her? Anyway, so they were part and parcel of it all. And the Lord Moses says, stone her to death, well, what do you say? And it was to tempt him. So he could have thought to himself, well, they're genuine people, you know. But did he? He didn't answer for ages. He took his time and just went to God, waited on God. And they were pressing on him to answer. But in the end, he looked up and said that he was without sin among you, cast the first stone. I mean, I've heard it said that actually means that he was without this sin. Well, whether it's that sin or whether it's any sin, whatever, he was the only one in the room that had never sinned anyway. So, that he was without sin, the man cast the first stone, and he walked out, because they knew they weren't without sin. They were not without sin. So, he came across a lady who actually inherited a bad name, and the reason she inherited a bad name was because her husband, she couldn't conceive seed. I looked the record up years ago. And because of that, he passed her on to a Roman, a guy that was in charge, a top military Roman guy. And this top military Roman guy passed around all his mates. And of course, in that culture and at the end time, you're the wife, or you're the woman, you've got to do as you're told. So she was under a heck of a lot of pressure to do as she's told or else face consequences. Or else don't, you know, but then doing as she's told, she's inherited that name, unfortunately. Very sad record. And I guess maybe Jesus Christ perceived that someone wasn't right with the whole thing. God knew. He knew every detail of it. But the Pharisees know. Maybe. So they've come along as these genuines, but they're fakes. They're fakes. They're religious fakes. But she's the genuine one because it wasn't her fault. Look at the incredible understanding God had in that situation. And to say, no, she goes free. Wow. Imagine she'd have been stoned to death. It had been an innocent woman stoned to death because she was innocent, basically. It was her husband that was guilty. And he should never have done that. Even under their customs and rules, he shouldn't have done that. So, and why this has come to my mind now, I don't know. But, just I've been dealing with these things, I'm thinking, are you a bot or are you real? And you still can't always tell, but you step back and you don't let anything draw you away from your God and your Lord Jesus Christ. And if we let praise God, because we've heard tonight so many times now, through three or four different people now, the grace of God. We didn't earn our salvation, like Carl Martin just quite rightly said. Well, Adam and Eve didn't earn the right to be on the earth either, but they were on the earth. And that was what God's intention always was. And they had it easy. They didn't have it hard. They were perfect in every detail. So Jesus Christ had to regain back what Adam gave away so that we could have the life God intended for us in the first place. And it is by grace, by favor of God, that anyone making Jesus Christ their Lord and believe in God raising from the dead can have this. And really, our lives are supposed to be sweet, easier, not harder. So even if we have work to do, it's supposed to be easier. So if we do it with God, it's easier. But we know that it's a fallen world, and that the new heaven and earth is still yet to come. And when it does, we'll be on that one. And that's where the righteousness is going to always be. And as it says in the scriptures. So, we'll be on that one, we'll be perfect, and let's hope none of us do what Adam and Eve did. Seeing things through God's eyes is a lot different than seeing things the way we want to see it or the way the world sees things. And what I did notice on these sites is there's a lot of people hurting in this world. There are a lot of people hurting. And I find myself typing up a lot of things to a lot of people to encourage them. Listen, God can get in the middle of your situation. If you get him at the center of your life, hey, you can be healed. God can heal you. Do you know this? Because a lot of them don't know it. They're fed with religion or they're fed with nothing. Or it's AI. And if it's AI, well, fine. If I don't know it's AI, and I'm saying that to AI, then what's going to happen? What's it going to do? Rise up against me? No. Even if it does, who cares? I don't care. If at the end of the day, if it's been on my heart to put a comment, I put a comment. And got a very different light for these comments and things like this. But at the end of the day, I'm not on there. I don't even know why I'm on there. And I've even, someone wanted to have a chat to me, and we had a chat on WhatsApp. And I said to them straight, plainly. It was a woman, and someone apparently a celebrity, and wanted to maybe meet up, have a long distance relationship and all this. I said, listen, I don't know why I've come on here. I said, I didn't come on here to meet anyone. And I'm reluctant to commit and say, yes, let's do it, or no, let's not do it. And then she's gone. So I'm thinking, well, that's fine then, that's fine. Because if it's of God, it will happen. If it's not of God, it won't happen. I'm not going to worry about it. It's someone that was posting up a lot of things about moving with God as well. And I thought, she's got a great heart. But it probably is religion-based, but she's got a great heart. So, again, and I checked her background out, and she had a bit of a background. One good background and one bad. But she's got through the bad. So, and it's funny, it is just like the woman who caught in adultery, actually, funny enough. I didn't really liken it to that at the time, but how are we looking at ourselves? Are you looking in the mirror every day, putting yourself down, looking at what you did wrong once upon a time? Are you looking in the mirror wondering what you're going to do wrong next? Are you looking in the mirror wondering if you're doing wrong now? Or are you looking in the mirror and saying, I'm a child of the living God. I'm a son or daughter of the Most High God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. At the right-hand side of God the Father, as Jesus Christ is right now, so am I in this world. And going out to your day, are you confessing who you are? Are you claiming who you are? Father God, thank you, you're with me. Thank you, you're going to open the doors you want me to walk through today. And am I being bold? Am I? James, quick nudge. Am I being bold today? Are you being bold today? Well, how excited am I about the things of God? I was speaking to somebody today. I shared with a guy. Him and his wife have got a good business. I've shared with him before. He said to me, well, where does the time go? And all this. And I said, well, it's biblical. So it says in the Bible, time's going to speed up. He says, you look around the world, everything happening is in the Bible. Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Okay, I can time speed up. I said, I don't know, but scientists have proved it is as well. So, the day should be shortened for the elect's sake, because the time's speeding at me. So I was quite bold, I just shared, but I encouraged him. Let God and Jesus Christ into your heart and life. Like I said, am I going to be bold? And I said it, I was speaking in love and waiting. And eventually, I even made a comparison between what we believe in and what spiritualism is, what face healing is, what this one is, what that one is. And I said, all these ones. I said, I've seen all these ones. I said, I'm not into any of that. I've never been into it. I've stood against it when I've had to. But when it's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've seen the healings. I've seen the miracles. I said, that's the proof I've seen. So he could only look up eventually and say, I know you're passionate about it. I know you are. Wow! People know it's our passion. People know it is. Are people afraid to come? Maybe because they're afraid of the light that we're shining. And we're going away thinking, maybe I did that wrong. Maybe I said that wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have said that there. Maybe I should have said more. Maybe. No. What God says is, you said it. You did it. That's it. Move on. Because then after that point that we share it with anyone, God is going to go to work in their heart. And I pray that he does with people, each person I speak to. He's going to work in their heart. He's going to know them. But will they listen? Will they respond? That's their business. It's not my business. It's not God's business if they respond or not. It's their business. And God's going to do his part. So guys, it really is that easy. And we've been given all things to freely enjoy. And it's up to us to decide how much or how little we want to freely enjoy. And I'm still trying to get on to certain levels because I know I've held myself back for a long time on certain levels in certain areas. I'm just being honest and transparent about it. But I've known that for a long time as well. And it's when you know where you are, that you know where your heart is as well with God. And God is just with you anyway. I'm moving with you anyway. He's going to open the doors you want because you're asking him for that. He's going to give you because you're going to him. You're putting him first anyway. Yeah? When it comes to, I'm not always 100% on everything, but on honoring God with my substance and first fruits for my increase, I've learned to be 100% on that. Never to miss a penny. And what is in my heart to give, I give. And I don't do it grudgingly. Begrudgingly or stingily. But I'm like, okay, Father, this is what I'm giving. Thank you, blah, 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 blah. I thank him for all the things he promises. You know, multiply my seeds and increase the fruits of my righteousness. Cause all your grace to abound toward me, so that I can always have all sufficiency in all things in order to be able to abound to every good work you want me to do. So it all rolls together. Even honouring God and giving that money is sowing seeds, yeah. And it's also to reap back the work God wants us to do. And then as we do, we move. And so today, with that person, I spoke. That's the work God wanted me to do today. Apart from my window cleaning. And there's a couple of other people I shared a little bit with, but it's not that I'm looking for it, because I'm not. All I'm doing is I came to that place, and it's a business, it's their windows outside. As I've come there, I've seen my heart to speak to the guy, to share with the guy. And I've done the job, walked in, and there he is, and he made the statement that sparked my mind. And with God working in me, the words, you know, time is speeding up. And that led to an open door. So that was the open door itself. I didn't plan it. Didn't have a clue that I was even going to be talking about that until it actually happened. So it's great because, and we go through our trials and tribulations. I'd be lying if I said that nobody did, because it's all part and parcel of being on this earth in the fallen world. However, in the new heaven and the new earth, that's not going to happen. And right now, we also know that Jesus Christ is our mediator between us and God. So he makes intercession for us night and day as well. So where we're lacking in areas, he's praying to God to cover us. And he's covering us. And also we minister healing where needed. And we get ministered to when we need it. we've got the ability to cast out spirits. We've got the ability to tell spirits, get out of my way. Go, move on, jog on. There's nothing to do with me. We've got no rights in my life, we've got no place in my life. We've got the authority and the rights to do that. And all it takes is doing it. Okay, so you're in your house. Somebody wants to break into your house. What do you do? Oh, well, okay. God, help me, because someone's trying to break into my house. Or do you bring around a believer and say, someone's trying to break in? No. You go and tackle them. You pick up something. Hey, who are you? What do you want? Bang. If it takes that to stop them, whatever, you do what it takes to stop them. Am I right or am I wrong? Anyone would, if they can. Or they'd run to get help. If you need to run to get help, run to get help. But, think logically. And yes, there are times when we can just get on our knees and pray to God and ask him to help me. I can't deal with this. So there's that as well. But it's in our instinct and in our nature to fight. It's in our instinct and nature to fight when somebody's trying to break in and steal. If they want to attack us. It's in our instinct to bang, do something back, if we can. So when it comes to the spirit realm, hey man, who's that standing in my way? Like Zerubbabel said, what is this great mountain before Zerubbabel? And I can only imagine, he said, you're a molehill. Right, you're nothing. That's it, I'm walking over you. You're done. Get out of my way. So we can say this with all authority and power in the name of Jesus Christ to any spirit that's trying to hinder us and distract us. And it's funny how she's even saying this. It's reminding me of something I saw on social networking the other day. A guy, great minister, shared on how he names all these spirits. And bang, it happens. And I'm like, he said, this is what you can pray. This is what you can command. I thought, I've heard this. I know it. Yeah. Of course. Guys, we've got such power and authority. But the world doesn't want you to know that. Doesn't want me to know it. No one is to know it. You'd rather we just know that our culture. Oh my gosh, our culture. Oh, but there's this. Oh, but there's that. And there's that, and you don't understand. Whoa. Are we above that or not? Huh? Are we above the cultures? Jesus Christ is. He's way above all things. So I claim I'm in Christ Jesus. At the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus exalted. I'm not above the systems of love. Aren't I? Of course I am. Yes, I am. Spiritually, I didn't have to earn it. Like Karl Martin quite rightly said, I did not have to earn the right to be above the systems of this world. And above the spirit realm that runs it all. I did not earn the right to be placed above that. But if Adam and Eve hadn't have messed up, they would still be where we are, with that right and full right and access to God the Father. There wouldn't be any nonsense going on in the world if they hadn't messed up. So, and thank God for Jesus Christ, because he's brought back that right for us to stand up and be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And it is strong in the grace. It's not strong in the works. It's not strong in the law. But to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And to love our neighbours ourselves. Somebody's ill. Oh, let me reach out. If God puts it in my heart. If it's in my heart, it's in front of me. Hey, I know God can heal you. It's great. I've been having a bit of an adventure on this social networking thing. I had some very, very funny jokes on there as well. I had the police knock at my door the other day. And, they said they're looking for a one-eyed man. They're looking for a man with one eye. I said, wouldn't it be better if you used two eyes, you could find him a bit quicker? That's one of the jokes I find on this social media thing. And it's so hilarious, I put it on my WhatsApp status. there's been a few other funny ones on there as well. Because I get it. God doesn't want us to be sat around being all serious or morbid all the time. No! Come on, have a bit of fun, laugh, joke, hey, smile. It's great because that's part of our DNA, which is in Christ. The world's DNA is, oh, doom and gloom. I'm so miserable today. Oh, what's going to go wrong next? Oh, I've done so much wrong. Oh, my gosh, look what I did. Oh, did I say that? Oh, no. Come on. That's not having fun. That's the opposite. You might as well just put the wooden box on you and that's it. I've done with it. No. I'm a free man in Christ. I'm alive. Alright, baby. I got the power of the Holy Spirit coursing through every fiber of my being. And I do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm sealed to the day of redemption by that Holy Spirit. It's sealed up in me. It cannot be removed. Thank God. Thank God. And thank Jesus Christ for what he endured for me so I could have that. So is it much of a task that I should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ's name and do the same works as he did and greater? Rebuke the spirit side? Minister healing to the sick? Lay hands on the sick? They shall recover? Speak in tongues much as well? And it's, I've said this before, you know, there's a lot, there's many people that they believe and they speak in tongues. But, and then they'll do tongues interpretation, word of prophecy, but they'll leave it there. But there's also word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning the spirits. So God can tell us something about a situation we can't possibly know by our five senses. Word of wisdom, he can tell us if we need to do anything about it or not, and if so, what? And discerning the spirits, is there a spirit present? If so, cast it out. And I shared, when was that I shared? Maybe last week or the week before. How there was someone at our fellowship, one of the young girls at our fellowship from years ago, from the youth fellowship, she'd come to me, and it was funny enough, it was an Easter Sunday. Not that I'm into that, but I was reading about the Passover of Jesus Christ, or the Last Supper. I broke the bread, blessed it, and passed it around, and said, this is my body, pass the drink around, it's my blood. So she turned up, I said, well, let's do that, let's do a communion. So we did. And God got my attention. She was a chatterbox for England, she had ADHD, she had a few things. Well, and actually, I sensed in my spirit it was the Lord Jesus Christ getting my attention. As I've looked in front of me instead of at her to my left, I've looked in front of this wall, and I'm like, Lord, are you telling me something here about Amy? And shoulder was coming to mind, and I was like, shoulder? Right shoulder, I'm thinking, right shoulder. And then just underneath the shoulder blade, I'm like, oh, come on, this is me, right? I'm not kidding. I actually saw her shoulder blade. As I said, come on, this is me, right? Thinking that. I saw her shoulder blade right there. I was staring at a wall. So not only did he tell me what it was, but showed me a vision of it. I'm like, this is really you. Right here. Hey, me? Yeah? What have you done to your shoulder? I said, what? What have you done to your shoulder? Your right shoulder, isn't it? She said, what? I said, just underneath the shoulder blade? She said, how the hell do you know all that? I said, how do you think I know it? Come on, he wants us to deal with it. Let's deal with it. So we both stood up. Normally I'd walk straight over and put my hands on, but I didn't. And I'm like, God says he's got one shoulder lower than the other. So I'm like, okay. I said, Amy, I can't see it, but God says you've got one shoulder lower than the other. She said, that's funny, I think I've got one rib higher than the other. I'm like, what side of the body is it on? She said, the right side. Same side of the shoulder's coming down, the rib's coming up. I'm saying, she's been consulting that. She's been crushing spirit came to my mind. I'm like, whoa, straight on. Crushing spirit, you come out in the name of Jesus Christ now. You leave. Bang, it was gone. Then I just commanded the whole diaphragm straighten up. The whole skeleton straighten up. What hell? I don't know this stuff. And I'm thinking, if a surgeon was sat here right now, he'd be beside himself. But sure enough, I said to her afterwards, I didn't feel anything happen. She said, I did. It moved. One next door was never kept niggling at me for 5 minutes. I said, Amy, can you come sit here a sec? Sit with your back perfectly straight and your legs up. She said, one next door was never. I said, I don't know. We're going to have a look and see. And sure enough, it was. It was about, where the toes touch, about that much difference between the feet. I'm like, that's crazy. Take your shoes off, take your socks off. It was the same. Grow out in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, walk around and see what it's like. And she was shocked. Her face was like, what? It hasn't been this easy for me to walk in years. I'm like, wow. God is awesome. See, I didn't know any of that by my five senses. But as word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits right in there. Right? There's faith. That is the manifestation of believing to bring to pass past the impossible at our command. Miracles. We can do miracles the same way, whatever's needed. Right? And gifts of healing. Several things got dealt with there. The spirit was cast out. Once that was cast out, the healing took place as God put in me to command. I didn't do the healing. God said, it's his work. It's his words that I spoke. Who am I? I'm nothing. So Peter and John lifted that guy up at the temple gates called Beautiful. And the people are, whoa, look at these guys. Peter said, why are you looking on us like we did something great? We didn't. This is God. This is the works of God through Jesus Christ of them. Guys, this is what we've got available to us 24/7. Any situation we're faced with, we've got this available. Are we utilizing it? Are we realizing it? Are we knowing it? Are we remembering it? Are we believing it? Because if we're not, we're not going to see anything happen. Guaranteed. And it's going to be back to, oh, I'll pray, I'll ask someone to pray with me for this one. No! You do it. You're the one there. It's like Jesus Christ was the one there. He did it. He taught his apostles, Peter, John, they were the ones there. They did it. Paul, the apostle Paul, he did the same where he went, in the Gentile nations. Hey, man, he went through massive persecution for it. But that was because that was the apostle Paul's path. Doesn't mean we're all going to get persecuted like he did, necessarily. And doesn't mean we're not. I don't know. I'm not making it up. But God can get us out of any situation. Jesus Christ walked through the crowds when they were trying to grab him and kill him. God got him out of there. Probably angels dressed as soldiers. People saw soldiers, but I believe it was angels. They just walked him straight out of there. So nothing is impossible with God. We've got nothing to be afraid of. What man can do to us? Hey, what do you want to do? Chop my head off? Okay. But God loves you. So does Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So, yeah. I didn't have a clue what I was going to share tonight, but that's what's come to my mind, to my heart tonight. And just to encourage everyone, wherever we go on this earth, we're powerhouses. Our light shines so bright when we know it. There's going to be times when people are going to go, whoa, they're not sure if it's too much for them. And I hope and pray to God that it's not going to be. But there's also spirits involved sometimes. So we don't get discouraged. We just keep going and keep going and keep going. Knowing full well who we are in Christ. Even if it comes to raising the dead, we do it. We just do it. We just look to God. If it's we can check with God first, obviously. And there's times God will say, no, don't do anything. Don't say anything. He's done that with me before. So we might have word of knowledge in a situation, but not word of wisdom. So do nothing. Basically. That's it, really. That's what I have tonight. Thank you very much, Cromwell, for asking me to share. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, guys, for what you've tried so far. And I'm thankful to God for who's going to share for the rest of this evening. It's going to be, I'm looking forward to fantastic sharing. So God bless you all, and all very much.
And God bless you, too. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You're really overflowing, Jason. Really overflowing. It reminds me of your favorite scripture, Matthew 6:33. That search you first the kingdom of God and his scriptures.
No, not his scriptures, his righteousness. Yes.
Because that's alive. That's the thing that is living. And it's living in you. and it's living in us, and it's living with Christ within us. And that's what we carry through and carry around us and carry with us every time we meet people and carry that light with us when we speak the word of God. That's what they see. That's what they hear. And that's what changes their lives. We are like, it says that a merry heart is like medicine. And when we are walking with God that way, we are carrying that medicine. We are bringing that medicine, that healing power to people. And that's the righteousness of God in us, which we give on. We can't give anything if we don't have it ourselves. And if we have that righteousness, which we do have, we can give it all and see other people delivered the way we have been. Oh, Jason, that's beautiful. That is really something else. Yeah, I'd love to hear you. I'd like to move on to Ethel. Ethel, please, are you there?
Hey, Carl Morton. Now I know the history behind your name. So anyway, you know, I noticed about you, Carl, and thank you for hosting. You're doing such a good job, just like Marianne did last week. And you remember things that I'm like, wow. I think he did listen to my audio that Lawrence posted, because you knew exactly where I'm from, Springfield, Oregon. I used to live in Eugene. Like I said, it's the second big city here in Oregon. First is Portland, and then we have Eugene, and I'm 10 minutes away from Eugene, but I'm in Springfield. So I chuckle here because you remember those things. Now, it came up again with Jason, his favorite verse in Matthew. And that's one of my faves also. And I'm like, wow, this guy is genius. He retains things, which is good. Yeah, so a good deal. So anyway, wow. You know, we're a few here. There's a few of us are missing. Of course, Laura and Kim is not here. And then Danny and Amber, so they're flying now, I guess, from Florida. And then I haven't seen Rebecca, so who else is missing? So anyway, it's going to be like a shorter version of the UK Zoom. It's okay. So I say, God bless you guys, and in Tagalog, pagpalain ka ng Diyos. And then in Hindi, parmishwa ako, she's there, and I can go on and on. It's great when you're traveling because you learn these things. And like when I used to work at Costco, I have some Indian members or customers. I tell them that and they look at me like, wow, you're blessing me. And then they go, oh, thank you, thank you. And, well, it's good. It's part of the sales too, you know. You got to be charming. Just like when you talk to people, you'll be that witness. You want to talk about God. You want to be approachable. Hello, right? And, you know, when people come up to me and say there's something about you, I know exactly what that is. It's the Christ radiating in me, and I love that. That's also my identification in Christ. And it was Jason that mentioned about that you know, there's so many people that are hurting. I say it over and over again, and they do need God's deliverance. We don't know who they are, really. So I pray about it that God put them in my path. The hurter they are, the better. You know, they need you, they want you. Because I've been there too. Sometimes I get there again, you know. But I know that I know this time I have more of a confidence that it's not going to be as hurtful. Because as long as we live in this world, we are, how you say, of it, but we're not in it or of it, right, in this world. And, oh, man, can you imagine? This world is terrible. The darker it gets, the more shine that we do. You know, we shine that it's that Christ in us. And, you know, it does radiate. I feel it, too. when I'm smiling, okay, God, I'm in this dark world, but let me smile. Let me be that witness for you. So people can approach you. You're an approachable person. And then when they ask, oh, how are you? And you respond like, I'm blessed. I'm blessed beyond measure. And then they smile and go, huh, I've never heard that before. Well, you want me to repeat it? You know? Yeah, people just say, oh, I'm fine. Or some people have their faces down and go, I'm okay. I feel like lifting up their chin and saying, you're just okay? But, you know, not everybody's in the same level. Okay, like I said, I've had predicaments lately and the hiccups, and boy, Lawrence just like kicked my butt, so to speak. You know, in a good way. He's my twin. We're brothers and sisters that are only in Christ, but like almost blood relatives. And he'll tell me, you know, Ethel, I'm very transparent with you. And God told me to tell you. Oh my God, when he says that to me, I better listen. It's not that I don't listen to him, but he has a way of saying it, very refreshing, firm and yet gentle, loving too, lovingly confronting you. And you know what? I'm glad that he did. Man, the blessings that just came. And he's going to post it. I've sent him all kinds of audios from my physical fellowship Saturday, and then I've had my Zoom fellowship yesterday. I mean, God has just multiplied, okay? I think I mentioned to you guys that I stopped kind of honoring my first fruit, which is so stupid, but, you know, he didn't scold me or anything, but he just said, you know, Ethel, it's up to you. I mean, you've got your own free will, but if you begin again, you just begin. Like Sangit says, or Lauren says, just begin. Now I'm saying it as well, just begin. Oh my goodness, I mean, the examples, like I said, you know, Social Security has increased me and Mom's Social Security benefits. I don't know where that came from. Oh, wait, I know. It's from God. He's increased. I asked him to, Father, you know, increase my finances because I want to honor my first fruits some more. Okay? And then the unemployment. You guys will hear an audio sharing. Oh my God, I thought they were gonna deny me. Once I reopened the case, every week now I have a claim. And guess what, you guys, the burden became a blessing because, their unemployment is paying more than where I used to work at Costco or CVS. I got paid every 2 weeks. It's very minimal, but you know, I just, that job, I needed to be out there and just meet people. It's kind of like my agora, like I talked about Paul when in Greece, a marketplace is called agora. That's when he witnessed to people because a lot of merchants was there at the marketplace in and out from all over the world. That's how part of the Christianity came about or spread. And then he got shipwrecked in the island of Malta. A lot of merchants there got shipwrecked. And they were coming from all over the world. So can you imagine how Christianity spread? Asia Minor, this Asia, that Minor, you know, everywhere. And there was a reason for him being shipwrecked in Malta. And then also while he was hanging out at the marketplace, this is in the town of Athens, which is one of the biggest cities, right, is Athens. And, you know, in a place called Agora, which means the marketplace. What a better place to hang out. I would love it because I could do multiple things. I could witness, talk to people, and go shopping at the same time. Ah, come on, can you want to laugh at me? So, you know, God is good. He just really places you where you need to be, and I ask for it. God, you know where the laborers are. I don't know where they are, but you know. Put them on my face. I'd love to have them right in my face. And, you know, I request that they're like quality laborers just like me, a mini-me, a mini Carl Morton, a mini Mary Wade, you know, and all of you. I mean,
God, give them to me. I want them hungry. I want them not to budge. I want them committed. Committed just like me, you know. I never did once budge. Maybe I have some things that I'm just like, I don't want to do it right now. I don't feel like it. But when I confess feel, that's just emotion. That has nothing to do with your spiritual walk. It's like you're just emotionally lazy or not emotionally, you're not motivated in any shape or form. But that's good. We have Lawrence and I have one-on-ones with him. You know, twin, I know you're my twin, but I'm going to kick your butt. Okay. I'm going to tell my dad on you. No, he told me to tell you. But anyway, imagine the, I could cry with joy right now because the unemployment, I never thought I'd be eligible or have coverage. But man, I tried again. I work hard very diligently to go through the process again. And look at that. God turned it from the burden to a blessing. Wow, what God can do for you. Because I said, God, I want to honor my first fruit some more. I want to double, triple of what I've started. That was my goal. I envisioned it. But then God also has blessed me in multiple ways like that. Imagine. So now I have great testimonies. Last week's testimonies is old now. This week is new, fresh bread, fresh manna. And I tell you, it's very exciting because I don't know how God's going to show off, but he will, okay? And in my hearts of hearts, wow, Father, I know it. You've never left me or abandoned me, and you never will. He may not be early, but he's always on time. But I was really expecting the unemployment insurance money, you know. And I'm laughing because I make more than what I used to get paid from CVS or Costco. And I have to listen and hear and go through the motion with the management. It's all nothing but drama, okay? And sometimes I just stay in my own lane anyway. And sometimes I'm thinking, wow, that's so crazy. They don't know how to manage. But this is the world. This is the way they operate. And then, you know, they do get jealous. Like one of my managers says, oh, Ethel, so-and-so was looking for you. Like this member, this customer, they came on a day when you are working, but then so happened that it's your fault. You guys canceled me that day, you know? Oh, and then I asked the supervisor, and they're not looking for you. Ha, ha, ha. No wonder why she has a desk job, because she's not very personable. She just does her rounds and very grumpy and not smiling. And she sees me there, what are you smiling about? You know, Virginia, leave me alone. It's part of my sales, okay? If I smile, I can get more sales, okay? So maybe why don't you take that note? I told her, take a note. It might help you too. But sometimes she gets to be a sales associate. You know, it's part of being in sales. One of them is smiling. It's huge. It's free, and people see you at a distance. And they go, wow, there's something about this person. Let me go buy this product. And then, of course, what's really funny, and I hear myself too, I'll say things like, oh, ma'am, you know, it's organic. Don't panic. It's a good buy. It's gluten-free. It's keto-friendly, blah, 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 blah. So I go on and on. And the best part, it's life-changing. Okay, so like, where is this stuff anyway? It's an Alfio to shelf. The third shelf there, blah, blah, blah. And they come in cases. Maybe they miss me now that I don't work there. But that's okay. That's like I've been asking God, I want a job that is, I'm interacting with people. I want face to face. That's because I also want to meet them. And that's me. I just like, I'm a kind of a people person. So, you know, I just laugh at myself because sometimes, you know, I've had members or customers that say at Costco, Ethel, you should be a stand-up comedian.
oh, it's like just mate, we interact, and for some reason we just laugh. So, anyway, yeah, maybe I will. That could be my next job too, you know. And I like being funny, like Carl said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's in Proverbs, you know. It's like, why take the medicines? It has side effects and all of that, but when you, you know, make people, funny, you know, you tell them a joke or whatever it is that you're funny in your talk. Oh my God. I laugh at myself too because I said, oh, I said that. And it's amazing what rhema words God can give you. Whether you're sharing or you're sharing the world's way, you know, I'd like to be funny, and it's amazing what comes out of my mouth, so I better watch it too, right? But no, it's all good. And, you know, 5 years ago, I couldn't be in front of you guys talking. And I used to have all kinds of fellowship at my home, and I had my husband then, he would ask me, okay, your turn to teach, babe. And I'm like, I would be in fear because I could get judged and all of that, you know. And sure enough, I did. But then God was really leading me to this fellowship where it was very freeing because now we could speak our heart and the real words. Before I could not talk, I was in fear, I was in prison, I was in bondage. Now look at me just talking, which is good. And sometimes when I hear the recordings, I go back, right? I'm thinking, wow, I said that? And then it helps me improve because, oh, I'll judge myself. Well, maybe I shouldn't have said it, but you know what? There was a reason why God made me say it, you know. Some people may get blessed, some people may not, but there's a reason of you speaking those rhema words. I tell you, and you keep practicing it, it gets perfect. Like Rebecca says, the more you practice, the perfect, more perfect you get. And it's just an amazing walk. You know, and like I said, the testimony, they're fresh. Every week it's different. They're fresh. God gives you more testimonies to where, wow, and you know that you know it's God. And I just get so humbled. I'm like the unemployment thing, whatever else God delivered me from there financially, Social Security. They're not in the business of increase. If anything, they decrease. And if you owe them something, I want my money, like they're hounding you, you know. But this time, oh no, there's an increase. I didn't question, I didn't call them. Like I said, give it on, you know, like let it rip, Father. And, you know, God is such an amazing God. Like I know I've said it before, the way he just tickles you in all the right places, like I am just like, laughing with joy, you know. This is the way you designed life to be, God. It says in your word, 3 John 2, I wish above all, he didn't say a little bit, very minute, that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Well, talking about prosperity and being in health, so, you know, there's kind of a reason. Like I said, I've been to India and Nepal, and I see how the believers operate their lives there. There's no gray areas. It's either they're going to believe God or not. Okay, fine, they don't have the money to go to the hospital or the doctor. Maybe better so. So they just believe God, I'm going to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And they get healed, you know. And I think sometimes it stagnates us in the Western world. We do have insurance for everything. Medical insurance, car insurance, blah, blah, blah. So we kind of like, we have that safety net. Oh, I have insurance anyway. But they're in third world countries. They have God insurance. It's either they're going to believe God or not. And that's why I'm so hot to trot to go back to the Philippines, they are third world country. I tell you, they're very religious people, very heavy in Catholicism. You know, I'm not bashing Catholic, but because I grew up in one. And they get very religious. It is like the only religion that exists in the world, you know. But that's why my heart goes out, because I want them, God wants them to know the truth and nothing but the truth. And it's so freeing. And I've been there, I grew up there since I was 11 years old, and now I've been in the States, you know, I'm very much westernized. I'm thankful, you guys, I'm thankful that I've known the truth. I wouldn't be talking like this, being that witness and shining for God. And I want to continue. And the more I see it, I'm like, wow, God, thank you for the fruit. More fruits to come. I'm walking it. You're giving it to me. You're showering with me with all the blessings. I mean, from burden to blessings. So now I don't freak out. Oh, okay, I don't have a job. They fired me. But look what happened. I'm getting more paid now from unemployment. Okay, I have another 16 weeks to claim it. And so now I pray to God. God, I have 15 more weeks here. Give me a job that's flexible, part-time, blah, blah, blah. But my priority is I've got to have my time for my Wednesday and Thursday Zooms. Okay, so I've made those kind of demands, you know. And why not? I'm a laborer. I'm asking God, requesting for my schedule with him, and when I have to work, that kind of stuff. So I'm really blessed, you guys. Really blessed beyond measure, and what better way for us to share here in Zoom to help encourage each other, to inspire, right, and to get motivated some more. It's part of our growth. I think it was Jason that was talking about growth, and it's a good thing because it's part of our stewardship, right? It's a relationship with God, right? And we have to nourish it and take care of it, and that's part of the stewardship. And I know that Lawrence had sharings about it, I think, a couple months ago, and it is a beautiful thing because, you know, why we get reminded why we're here. Why are you here in the Zoom? Why? Why are you walking with God? What's your purpose? What's your goal? Now, I have many goals. And one of them is envisioning to, like, go to the Philippines, the travel stuff. But, you know, the envisioning will come to fruition. I just know it. It's a partnership with God. You tell him what you want. Okay, Father, now that I'm planning this, I need connections here in the States and also in the Philippines. And then, you know, I have to brush up on my Tagalog, but I'm very proud to say Philippines is the number one Southeast Asia country that speaks very well English. Yes, I'm not bragging, because, you know, when I was going to school there in the Philippines, it was a private school, and we had a subject like just English. We had a subject just in writing. So my writing is very nice. Sorry, I'm bragging, but it's true. And at least I spoke English when I came to the States. I was very shy, bashful, but then as I hear, you know, I've learned. But I could speak it. It's just that I was afraid because of the accent would come out. But then I was a kid then, and they pick up very fast, right? So anyway, yeah, that's kind of my testimony this week. Lots and lots of things going on. Only good things, right? And you guys, I'm so blessed that I get to hang out with you guys on Thursdays. I'm very, very blessed to do that. And there's no place I'd rather be than to fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love you all. Mm.
And we love you. Thank you, Ethel. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. Well, your accent has definitely disappeared now. You're speaking English better than I do. So, well, that doesn't take much.
You're fine.
Oh, that's beautiful. I lost it. There was something I thought about when you spoke. So, God may bring it back to me. But, yeah, we are all dependent upon God. We are all wonderfully blessed by Him. And we are all well taken care of by Him. You might also have received it, a message from Jyoti and Suresh. We probably all have heard about the nasty business that took place in Nepal and Tibet day before yesterday, I believe it was, yesterday. And
Lawrence he had a sharing about it. Yeah, we pray for Nepal.
I don't have any idea what's going on. I don't watch the news.
Is that a big mudslide?
There was
I heard about it yesterday.
Yeah. And the message from Jyoti and Suresh was that thank God everyone is in good shape when they lead it. So that means thank God, thank you God, we all are safe and blessed. We are asking us about yesterday news in Nepal. We pray for all those families who lost everything in flood coming by China border side. Yeah, so that means they probably have had a head count on all the saints in the area, and everyone is counted and numbered. So thank God for that. He's definitely taking care of his own. So that's wonderful. And So God is in business. God is taking care of his kids. And that's us. We are his kids. He's taking care of us. Bambi, I heard your the sound from your muted microphone, but are you able to it seems to me that since we are such a limited group tonight, you're the last one, Bambi, so if you want to take it along.
How did that happen? So quick. Yeah, absolutely, I can share. I've still got a few more minutes of work, but that's fine. So I've got a lot of stuff to do, so I will work after we finish meeting. So, yeah, God bless you all. I see everyone on here. I'm just so thankful to be here with this group, regardless whether we are a big group or a small group. And, you know, I think one of the most amazing things on this fellowship is being taught, because we were taught, to speak by the Spirit and to not have anything planned. And that's actually always been kind of a challenge for me, to kind of clear my mind, and you just open your mouth and you speak. And sometimes you do have some pre-planned stuff you want to share, actually what I do this evening. But it's interesting because, like what Etta was saying, there were times I would go back and listen to the fellowship, and at first I would listen to the whole fellowship until it got to me. Then I would skip over whatever I shared and listen to everybody else, because I think, like a lot of people, hearing the sound of my own voice was very weird. I didn't like it, and I just didn't want to hear what I had said. You know, it's just like, false humility, I don't know. But I started listening to what I'd shared at times, and will just be absolutely gobsmacked, stunned. You know, you hear things that come out of your mouth that are, they just seem... they're not planned, and they're things that just hit the nail on the head, and they're things sometimes that I've said on this fellowship that I, in my five senses, didn't have the wisdom to say, but yet it came out, and you know that that's God. And so, just being also in awe and being like, wow, I said that. Like, God gave me the privilege and the wisdom, and all I had to do was open my mouth and speak forth with boldness, and that came out. Wow. And then, starting to learn to use that in my everyday application and everything I do. And just, you know, I do it at work. I started using that as a, you know, I'm not going into my office in work meetings and sitting down and doing like we do in fellowship. But I do just open my mouth when it comes to situations that I do not know and tell God, like, hey, you know, you put me in this situation. You put me in this job. You put me in this role. You gave me this position, so you have to give me the wisdom, because I have some qualifications, but don't feel, other than the Holy Spirit, that I really have any qualifications for what I'm doing. And I was just called a meeting the other day with an upset employee, and someone had done something, and there's a personnel issue. And I was in the meeting with another supervisor talking to the staff, and a bunch of stuff just came out of my mouth, and that supervisor came to me later and was talking to our managers about how I had really spoken to the employee things that they needed to hear, and how I had given them great wisdom, that what they wanted from the other person necessarily wasn't going to be communicated in the language that they were going to relate to. All this stuff, and I thought she's going on and on and on. I thought, I said all that? Even now, trying to repeat it, it doesn't come across as it did when she shared it, because at the time, God gave me the words to share, and I did. I didn't think about it, and then when I was done, I wrapped it up, and it apparently, you know, I kind of felt silly, because it was a situation, and I didn't really have the words for it, but apparently I did. Apparently I did. And sometimes there's a time that you need to stop, too. There's a time for silence. Sometimes just being quiet and looking at someone communicates everything that needs to be communicated when you're dealing with a difficult person. And knowing that, sometimes that when you're wrapped up, when nothing else comes out, you wrap it up and you just stop. Because the weight of the words and the power of what was in them and the magnitude and the time for the person who is listening to absorb them is also necessary. Some of the greatest things I have heard in the fellowship have been sentences. One of the greatest things that Kim ever said to me was in regards to my mother, which a very difficult situation because I went through, I share it on here. My mother was incredibly abusive, and I went through many, many years of a very hard time and trying to figure out just even how to navigate life. And I know my brother still deals with this a great deal because he's not a Christian. We talked about this before in the fellowship. When you learn to live life based on how you're doing it in your five senses, and you grew up in a situation where you weren't given the equipment you needed, you have a really weird way of navigating the world. And so once I became a Christian and really started trying to figure out how to do things properly, like I'm a fully functional adult now with degrees and a profession, and if I sat down and talked in detail about my past, most people, all people, in fact, the people who know me most of my life or all of my life, don't know how I did it. I know how I did it. You all know how I did it, because we all know that it's God. But, you know, that was a very difficult situation I was going with, because my mother was dying, and I did not have a good relationship with her because she was still hateful and cruel and abusive. She was manipulative. She was a believer, though, thank God. You know, she did have her moments. She did have her moments. I think that deep down inside she did care for me, but That was a situation, because I was in another state, and I recognized that God put me in another state. My mother was dying. I was in conflict because I didn't know, do I go to my mother? But she's dying, and I knew she would be hateful and hurtful. Anything that she could inflict that could damage me for the rest of my life, she would do, and she would do that intentionally. And so that's very difficult to know that your parent is dying, but you're trying to figure out, do you go to them or not? How do you handle the situation? I know according to the Bible, you know, I want to honor my parents, even though they, you know, haven't necessarily taken care of me. I want to do what God says I should do. And I spent a lot of time with that, and God showed me how to handle the situation and what I needed to do and when I needed to go, and I gave everything over to God, and he helped me to navigate that situation in such a way that only he could. I got a price point in my mind, and I determined that I would look for an airplane ticket at that price point. And when I found that plane ticket at that price point, I would go to Kentucky. If my mother was still alive at that time, I would go see her. And if she was not, I would not. And I gave that to God. And she passed away before I got there. But I had perfect peace with that because I had given it to God. And the one sentence that Kim said to me that had the biggest impact was when I was talking about some of the things that were going on and some of the things that my mother had done and was doing. She said very simply, Bambi, that's not your mother. And that was it. My mother was possessed. She operated a lot of devil spirits. Tim was absolutely right. My mother had intentionally let them in. She had done that before in the past, and she knew what she was doing, so she willingly accepted that. So I recognized immediately that I no longer had an emotional stake in it because I was not dealing with my mother. I was dealing with spiritual attacks, and I know how to handle those. But, you know, that took that one sentence, and my ability to walk out and trust God in it. And God walked me through that entire situation, and I was able to handle it lovingly and with grace and to get her the care that she needs physically in the five senses. I was able to navigate her getting into homes and to different care places and talk with nurses without actually dealing with her. I was able to honor her as my mother and show other people that I was willing to step in regardless of what had happened and what she had done, and many people are very aware of it. And I was able to handle that with God's love and a walk that God showed me moment by moment. And so when you're sharing, when you're speaking by the Spirit, just sometimes say something and know that that's all there is. The five sense maybe wants to add more to it, but, you know, I had my one-on-one with Kim at that point. God really put it in my heart to connect with Kim and not with Lawrence, and I had been connecting with Lawrence previously. And I reached out to her, and she and I talked, and it was one sentence, and it was good. One and done. I had the strength and wisdom to move forward and do what I needed to do. And so I will close with that. Just one more quick thing, though. I want to share with you all how sweet God is. I started doing CrossFit, and so I get up early in the morning, and I go to the gym early in the morning, and I do CrossFit, and it's intense, and it's insanity, and if you don't know what it is, you should look it up. It's kind of funny that I'm doing that. But whatever, God put it in my heart to go to this place, and I've really been enjoying it. And so if you don't know what grips are these sort of like, they're not gloves, but they're kind of like gloves. You put them around your wrist and they cover your palms because you do a lot of workout on these metal bars. They're kind of like parallel bars in gymnastics, but they're metal. And, you know, the palms are the most sensitive part of the body. That's why when God says he has our names tattooed on the palms of his hands, that's no one gets palm tattoos. That would be excruciating. And so doing some of the CrossFit workout without grips is excruciating. And when I first started, I didn't have grips. They have chalk you can use. And holy crap, you have to do things they call a dead hang. You have to jump up on this bar and just hang there and hold your own body weight. And it was painful. And so pretty quickly I realized I was going to have to get these grips that everybody else had. So I ordered a pair of grips. And in the rush to get out the door this morning to get there for the 6 a.m. class, I realized that I had left my grips at the entrance. It's getting darker earlier, and usually I grab my water bottle and my grips, and I have extra water bottle in the car, but left the grips. And I almost turned back around, but I thought, no, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to use my power and my authority as a believer. And I said, God, let us do something today like the row machine or other activities. Like, don't let us do the bar, because I don't have my grips with me, and I don't want to miss out on the exercise, but it is just too painful for me to do some of the workout if that's going to happen. So I was settled in my heart, that's it, we're just not going to do any work on the bars, and I don't have to worry about it, I don't have my grips. And I walked into the CrossFit place, and almost all of the workout was on the bars. And I was like, what? God, I asked you to fix this. This is not right. I can't do the bar work. I don't have my grips with me. And so I kind of sulked and went over to a corner and started to warm up. And then a girl walked up to me that I had done workout with last week. And she greeted me and she said, how are you doing this morning, Bambi? And I was like, hey, I'm all right. After I left my grips at home. And she knows. We all know because it is really painful if I haven't. And then if I haven't emphasized that enough, it hurts if you don't have the grips. And her face lit up, and she goes, oh, I've got an extra pair in the car. I'll go grab them for you. And then I just knew at that moment God had answered my prayer, but it was a great reminder for me that we need to pray the outcome. We don't necessarily need to pray how it's going to happen, because for me it was going to happen was the routine would be changed. But how it happened was God had someone there with an extra pair of grips I could borrow. But at the end of the day, what I really wanted to be able to do was do the workout, whatever it was. But I was altering my prayer for the situation and not for the outcome that I actually desired. And God used that little
moment to show me, like, hey, kiddo, you don't need to pray and tell me how to do things and give me breakdown of instructions and how things need to happen. As we talk here, you know, get out of the way and let me fix your bicycle. I will provide what you need for you to do the desire of your heart. You just tell me what you need and give it to me. And so it was just a really great reminder. God did that specifically for me, as he does for all of us. He gives us little messages throughout the day that bless us and encourage us. And that was mine. It was so blessed because I got that little encouragement at like 6:02 in the morning. So I will end with that. I love you all very much. God bless you greatly. I hope I wasn't on mute.
No, we heard you beautifully. Thank you so much.
What did you say?
Great testimony. Great testimony. Shows really that God takes care of our need, not what we think is our need, but our actual need. And he knew ahead of time how to handle it. Ah, beautiful. I love that. That's very nice. That's very nice. Yeah. And then it seems like we've all been through. And God has been blessing us with wonderful testimonies, wonderful sharings from the heart. And God has been inspiring our hearts to share what's beneficial for each and every one of us to listen to. And I've been blessed. I hope you guys have been too. I bet you have. I know you have, because these are the words from God to each and every one of us. So thank you, and it's been great. Would anybody like to manifest, speak in tongues, or you know, an interpret, or just word of prophecy or something? Anyone?
Okay. Karatien teru jara da akartasi de belentaran burukarasta hanzalta pekere jeter zedikera tunda. Unturu jara da akartasi txasebere kintere estuda prahuli abar akartasta zibri renterestetziz. My children, I have given you everything that you need to be more than conqueror in this world. You do not belong to this world, but you are shining as a bright in light. And you bear the word of truth, and you can really make a difference in this world and enlighten people who need this light, that are in darkness and they don't know about it. Just continue, speak my word, and be encouraged, and I love you.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. Okay. So, thank you, Frank, and thank you, God, and this has been a wonderful evening. Thank you, God, for this wonderful evening, for each and every one of us, and for blessing us, and for blessing the Tor family on their way back home. May they arrive at the same place as all their luggage, and on time, on schedule. So, God, we're truly thankful for your grace, for your love, your concern, and for just being there for us in every situation that is arising up in our lives, in as we wake up in the morning, as we go to bed, in the second of the day, you are there for us. So thank you, God, for being there, loving us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Mary, I love your chants. Nice.
Her hats or cats?
Yeah, that too. I think her cat.
So, she certainly has a lot of cats, that's for sure. She's got a cat farm right now. I've told her that her cat farming is not lucrative, but she didn't believe me. So she's got a little cat farm going on.
Cat house or cat farm? Which one is
it? Cat farm. She's farming kitties. You're on mute, Mary. See, you gotta read my name, Mary. You're on mute.
So.
Nope, sorry. Yeah, I
see. See, told you, man, it'd be useful.
So you don't have a cat house, you got a cat farm.
Cat farm. Yeah.
I've got 11 of them right now. I've got my three.
You're fostering 11 cats?
Yeah, well, no, I have three cats of my own, and then I have another cat and her seven kittens.
And, you're fostering.
Yeah, and she's doing a fantastic job. She's getting used to me. She was feral. She's not, she hasn't tried to bite me or scratch me or anything. She'll growl, you know, and, it's kind of funny because I have them in a dog pen where she can go in, you know, feel protected.
What she
does is when she comes out from her little resting place that's separate from the kittens, when she comes to get into the pen, she'll walk all the way around that pen, growling and looking at me to let me know this is my territory right here, and I don't want you in it. I have to weigh the kittens, so I have to reach in there and, you know, get them and everything. And she'll growl at me, but I've come within 2 or 3 inches of her mouth. And like, she has never...
Like, give me a growling sound there.
Hat growl. Yeah, no.
All right. Well, send me a growling sound, because my cats do not growl.
They're
not allowed to growl, and they don't growl.
Oh, no, no. My Maria growls whenever Mago gets around her. She's so silly about it. Depends on their personalities, but yes, they do.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She's just, she's just not socialized at all. And
I've never heard a cat growl. I mean, is it like a dog
growl?
Give us an example.
Like that? I got you. Okay. All right.
That's very good, Mary.
Yeah, that was very good. Yeah.
She's a beautiful animal, and she's taken fantastic care of these little kittens. And
she's only growling because she thinks that you're going to do something to the babies, right?
Well, she's just warning me. She's like, "Okay, these are my babies, and I don't really want you dealing with them. If you deal with them, I'll tolerate it, but I'm not happy about it." But I've had feral cats that would have killed me if they had. The opportunity to. I had one time, actually she was in the same crate as the one that I have now, and there was a book, a paperback book, and she got a hold of that paperback book somehow through the bars, and she was shredding it. And it was not a very good book or anything. I mean, I didn't mind her doing that, but I absent-mindedly reached down to pick the book up, you know, and she was in the cage, and the book was outside the cage, right outside the cage, and I reached down there to pick that book up, and she gave me a swipe on my hand that I would not forget.
Yeah.
And now,
I've had them where they are, they can be quite vicious. They don't mean to be vicious. They're just scared. They're terrified.
I got a little female, and I put eardrops in. Apparently, I don't even know what ear mites are, but apparently I haven't even looked it up.
They're common, yeah.
They're what?
They're common. The ear mites, especially in Florida.
Yeah, so I'm putting eardrops in the male. I just pin him down, and he gets calm, and you would think the male would be worse. It's the little female. She does not like the drops, man. That's all I can do is hold her down with both hands, and because she's so small, she squirms around. She's like 3 pounds. He's like 5. He's almost as big as Mia right now. So, I'm going to have to do that in a minute. What?
Then they get the ear mite head, and their head looks all greasy because of the medicine.
I'll see if I can.
Well, not when I hold them down, they don't.
But the thing is, they shake it off because they don't like it, and it goes out, and then they get the greasy head.
Not mine. Mine don't get greasy head, and they don't growl.
Okay.
Here's the babies, if you can see them.
Oh, yeah.
Send that over.
You got to send him the video of the milk bar. It was so cute. She sent me a picture of the seven little kittens all passed out. She said they hit the milk bar, and now they're milk drunk.
Yeah,
one of them was on their back, just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
My my stomach needs room. Lots of room. They're absolutely wonderful. I don't have a picture of the mother because she's elusive, but they're just absolutely gorgeous little
cats.
There's two males, and both of them are gingers, and five females. So
for those here in the fellowship who do not yet have an orange cat, Mary can accommodate you.
I'm fine without a cat.
Yeah, same here. I'm okay.
Yeah, you're
I'm
good.
Meow.
Well, once they get adoptable, they'll be snatched up because they're absolutely gorgeous. They're all different. There's two calicos, and they're female. Two gingers, they're the males.
And there's
one that looks just like the mother's. It's a very dark, torty kind, but not real pronounced torty. It's mostly dark fur. She's just like her mother. And then there's a black and white one, not a tuxedo, but just black and white little splotches all over. And then one that's just your regular black, white, and gray tabby.
I have no idea what I got.
A delight. And they're growing in leaps and bounds already. They were born Friday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Friday? Oh, my gosh.
Less than a week old.
Newborn.
Somebody brought her in to the shelter, and she was in labor when they brought her in.
Oh.
And she had three of the kittens right there and then, as soon as she was brought in. And then over the next several hours, she delivered the rest, four. And I picked them up that Friday. I picked them up the day they were born with mother.
Yeah.
And,
she's getting used to it, I guess, but she's still growling at you.
Yeah, I deliberately brought her or settled her in the office where I work because I work from home. And that gave her an opportunity to get used to me. And
to see you work and type, and she got used to that. She knows
she's learning the job real well. She can do a great already. So,
trying to get an office assistant.
I have a pocket door that leads into the foyer, and then the door to the office is right here, and so I can lock this pocket door, and no other cats can get anywhere near the door to the office. So she's behind two closed doors. So she's had plenty of privacy. And she's gotten to where now, if I announce myself before I open the door, she'll stay where she's at and won't go try to hide because she's used to me now. But, it's been a real experience. I love taking care of these animals. I just absolutely love it because they require so much patience and kindness and love.
Yeah.
You know, humans aren't always receptive to that sort of thing, but animals are. And I kind of look at it as a training ground for helping people if you're willing to be helped like that because, you know, we all have a lot of love and tenderness and
I mean, everybody has the desire to be loved. I was at a fellowship one time, the old school fellowship, and there was a lady there that had a cat, and she was really concerned that, you know, her cat was sick, and so we all prayed. And she asked the question, you know, are there going to be cats in heaven? And somebody said no. And I'm like, shut the F up. I said, are you kidding me? God has created every single animal. And he knows all the desires in our heart. I'm telling you right now, I got this little dog Rusty when I was a little boy that I went looking for because he went missing. And of course your parents try to protect you and not tell you where it's at. You got run over. And so I'm running through the orange groves in frost-proof Florida looking for it. Later on I found out it got run over. But anyway, I told him, I said, if God doesn't provide me Rusty, then I'm out. You know, that's bullshit. You know, so I just let them have it at that. And then we prayed for the cat, and the cat got well, and, you know, they only last so long.
I talked to God about this actually, and the thought that I had, or the imagination that I had, is with all the animals through all the ages, all the species.
Yeah.
God made 9 planets, right, in our solar system. Maybe he'll make a planet, one planet for each of the animal species. Listen to me, hear me out. All the animals that have ever lived will be on their little planet, and I will be in charge of the planet of cats.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
I saw a film once where that was called the Planet of the Apes. Maybe I should be the king there, then.
Maybe that's where you got that from.
Planet of the Cats.
Oh, my goodness. So, man, I've got a theory I've got to tell you, because someone brought this up in a fellowship some time ago. And I thought, you know what? I bet you're probably right, because God gave us pets, and we see their love for us. We can see, I think, the love of God through the pets, and the way that they just look at you and love you, you know? And we love them. We manifest God's love and our care for the animals, which we're supposed to do. We're supposed to care for the animals. And I thought, you know what, though? If there was any mention of animal like that in the Bible, people have gone totally left wing. We would have churches of the cat now. I think as humans, we're better with limited information, and God's like, I can't go into that with them, because it's already going to be a hot mess with just Jesus Christ. But I can't take any more information. So that's my theory.
Well, I mean, you think that he put everything on the ark. I mean, come on now. I mean, what is he doing? And he provided New York strip steak for us, porterhouse. You know, I mean, where do we think to get these all the food in the freezer and refrigerator? I mean, I live in St. John's River, which is a spring fed, and there's an eel at the bottom of it, and there's people that go out fishing and they trap the eels and they bring them up, they freeze dry them, and ship them to South Korea for a living. Now that's food for the people in South Korea, you know, and other places, other Asian places. They love that. And it also gets rid of an invasive, there you go.
Invasive?
Species. There you go, thank you. Species. Like you got the iguana and the boa constrictor down here that's running wild, killing all these animals. You know, so, but if you look at it, you know, animals in reference to people, even if they have the spirit of God, can act like animals, you know, in other words, prey and predator, you know, that's why it's important for us to walk with the spirit of God, love and tenderness, humble, meek, you know, love one another. I mean, what an exciting life this is to live. I mean, and to live it with you guys, what a blessing.
That's a blessing.
Hey, Carl, I had one thing, if you don't mind. I needed to share this with you, because I always try to remember where my son lived and went. F-J-E-L-L-H-A-M-A-R.
Say that one more time.
F-J-E-L-L-H-A-M-A-R. Norway.
F-J-E-L-L-H-A-M-A-R.
Fjellhammer?
Why don't you Google Fjellhammer?
Fjellhammer, yes, I've been there.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to say it that way. And how about the
other
one?
Mountain Hammer.
He played American football for the 1814s there. E-I-D-S-V-O-L-L. Edisfall? Come on, Carl. Edisfall?
Your Norwegian's fantastic.
Edisfall. Oh, yeah, I got that.
Joe's got Mary's cat.
And the other one, T-R-O-M-S-O? Tromso?
Tromso. Tromso. Tromso, yeah, that's way up north.
Yeah, he lived there 2 years with a lot of family, and also Voss.
Beautiful.
V-O-S-S.
V-O-S-S, yes, that's also a beautiful place.
My son's a parachute instructor and a a soccer coach now. He just got a job as a soccer coach. And what you guys would call football. Boss. He did skydiving there.
Okay. Boss is known for very much outdoor activities like
I own a wingsuit.
Yeah, they do this what do you call it when you jump off the cliffs with just wings
off the mountain.
Hang gliding? Parasailing?
No, not hang gliding. With these suits.
It's with a wingsuit. They call it a wingsuit.
Oh.
Wingsuit, yeah.
Yeah. I owe them one. I gotta buy them one. Because I promised them one. Yeah.
Goodness. All right. Okay.
Hey, what's that? It's what dads do.
I wouldn't. Well, anyways. Yeah. And it's been a delight, you guys. Cats and everything.
Thank you, Carl, for hosting.
Yeah, thanks, Carl.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you, too.
Thank
you. Guys, before we all go, can we pray for Nepal?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what a good.
It's burning on my heart earlier. So gracious Heavenly Father, God, thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Not thanking you for the mudslide, but I pray for all the people that have been affected by it in one way or another, Father. I thank you that your people are safe anyway, but I pray for all the others as well, Father, because so many people there, that you can get the help they need to them and your gospel to them as well, so they can believe quicker, that they can rebuild their lives back quicker. I pray and thank you, Father God, that anyone who's lost their lives, that if it's available, someone can go and raise them up. But ultimately that people turn to you, Father, in this. Because we know it's not of you. So I thank you for just standing against whatever that is that's caused that and causing that in spiritual things anyway. Get people's lives saved, both physically and for eternity as well. And that they can rebuild their lives as quickly as possible. Thank you for this, Father God. It's done according to our petitions. In the name of Jesus Christ, in every country that's affected by it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah. That was great, Jason.
Yeah, that was great.
Thank you, guys. And love you, guys.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Sweet sleep, everybody.
Love you.
Love you guys.
Bye.